It's a lonely place. It's a lonely place. And it can be a scary place. And sometimes in life, I'm trying to bring this whole analogy together. Sometimes in life, we feel like we're in the desert alone. And we don't feel like there's any help. And we don't feel like God's hearing us. We don't feel like God's listening to us. So we're talking about that and metaphorically making some comparisons today. But David literally found himself in the desert, and it isn't common knowledge. Most people don't realize this, but there was a time when David, who we think of as this great, wonderful hero, king, all this, David actually defected and deserted the people of Israel. For a year and a half, David actually went and lived with the Philistines. You remember the big story about David? What's the one thing you remember David did? Killed the giant. Yeah, you got to kill the giant. That's it. And we think about that. And who was the giant? He was a Philistine. And in that story, you have the Israelites on this hill, the Philistines on this hill, and the Philistines come down into the plain between the two, and they challenge the Israeli army, and nobody would go and fight. And so here comes David forward, and he says, well, I'll fight for Israel. And he goes, and he kills this big giant, this Philistine, and again, he's a hero. But now what's happened at this point, because Saul's pursuing him, David decides then that he's going to desert the nation of Israel, and for a year and a half he's going to live with the Philistines. But it's at this time, or during this time, that we begin to learn some valuable lessons and confidence about being in the desert. We can also gain some understanding in the way God deals with us and changes our hearts to bring us back to Him. David was tired. He was tired of running from Saul, and he decided that it was easier to find a place where Saul couldn't pursue him. Well, Saul would not pursue him into the land of the Philistines. It's interesting, because David takes his men and his army of 600, and they move to a place called Gath, G-A-T-H. By the way, Gath is the city that Goliath came from. So David moves right into that town, and he becomes a traitor, and he defects to live with the Philistines. If you haven't read this, I want you to read this in your Bible so you're not thinking that the pastor's distorting something. It's very specific about what happened, and that this is David's defection. David got to know the king, because he was already celebrated and well-known. And the king of the Philistines at that time was a man by the name of King Achish. And so David one day goes to King Achish, and he asked if he could have a smaller town. He didn't like the big city thing going on there in Gath. And King Achish agreed and gave him the town of Ziklag. Now, there'll be a test after the service. You have to remember all these names. And we will count spelling. And David then is given the town of Ziklag, and he takes his wives, and he takes his 600 men that were there with him. And from there, David and his men would do this. They would raid the villages south of Judah. In other words, they would raid the Israelites. They would raid their camps and steal and battle with them. And because David did this time and time and time again, King Achish thought that David must be hated by the people of Israel. And so he thought, since he hated the people of Israel, then David's going to stay in Ziklag and be loyal to him. King Achish was very happy. Well, there came a time, and guys, again, you can read this in your passage. There comes a time then when the Philistines, who always, always disliked Israel, decide to go to war against them. And because David and his men have proven themselves to be mighty warriors, King Achish goes and he asks them to come out of Ziklag You remember all these names? King of Kish, Gath, Ziklag. You got it all down. And he asked them to come out of Ziklag and to join him in battle against the Israelites. Remember, at this point, David has betrayed his country. But at this point, something else happened, and God shows David that he can be trusted, even though David doesn't understand it. And folks, I want you to know this. When you're in the desert, when life is throwing stuff at you, when you feel abandoned, when you feel deserted, when you feel let down by people, by the way, people will always fail you. Hear me. Your best friend will fail you. Your spouse will fail you. Somewhere, somehow, some way. I have the most perfect wife in the world, and I love her dearly. But I know there's times that she's failed me. And if you were to ask her, if you were to ask her, she'd say, "Wait a minute, let's talk about you for a while." And she's probably got more on me than I do her. But this is how it works. People fail us. And when we're in the desert, and people have failed us, it gets real lonely. But in those times, we can have confidence in God. And that's when we don't understand. I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed. Are you listening, God? Why aren't you listening? Why don't I feel your presence? Are you there? We've talked about this a while back, and in those moments, we want to remember what he's done in the past because he's always there. And we just have to have that confidence in him when we really don't understand. Why are you taking me through this? Listen to this. It's from 1 Samuel chapter 28. Now it came about in those days that the Philistines gathered their armed camps for war to fight against Israel. And Achish said to David, "Know assuredly that you will go out with me in the camp, you and your men." David said to Achish, "Very well, you shall know that your servant can do." So Achish said to David, "Very well, I will make you my bodyguard for life." David has won the favor of the king. And the king has said, "You will go with our troops and you will march against the Israelites. And I'm going to trust you so much that I want you to be my personal bodyguard as we go into battle." Now, David's thinking about this. This doesn't make sense, but it just seems to be what he should do, so he's going to do it. And David makes a very foolish decision. And his foolish decision is born out of this. And I want you guys to think about it. His foolish decision is born out of this because the years of being hunted by Saul, David gets all desperate and agrees to fight with the Philistines against Saul. There are going to be those times in your life when you will feel desperate. There's going to be those times in your life, like you say, where you're in the desert and you don't know what else to do, and you've prayed and you've talked to God and you're not hearing any answers, and at least you're not hearing what you want to hear or nothing at all. And you will make a foolish decision. You will make a decision that is outside the realm of understanding and what God wants for your life. You will. Because you rely on yourself for that. And then things get harder. Then things get harder. King Achish was overjoyed that a great warrior had agreed to join his forces. So he goes and he informs his generals that David will fight with them against Israel. The king is excited. He has confidence in David. He knows he's been raiding into the Jordan, and he knows these things have been going on, and so he's very confident. He goes to his kings, and he's like, hey, guys, guess what? It's wonderful. David is going to lead the battle, and he knows these Israelites, and he knows what they're like, and he knows how they fight, and he knows where they are, and he knows all of these different things, and he's going to lead us into battle. But to the king's dismay, the generals, all of the generals, rebuked David. And they voiced their concerns that David may change his mind in the heat of the battle and turn against them instead. Now David's proven himself. The king believes in him. But the generals say, I don't know about this. I just don't know. He may change his mind, and we're going to be in the land of the Israelites, and he may turn against us, and that could go very bad. So the king brings that bad news back to David. And David is there, and he's ready. He's waiting with his men. He's in the desert. He's made a foolish decision, and he's waiting to do this battle. He's ready to fight against Israel. And then when David hears what the king has to say, he becomes enraged. He doesn't understand why all of this is happening to him. But even when David doesn't understand, God does. Here's the dilemma. David, the great warrior, has been in Israel, and he's led the people in Israel, and he's led them in battle, and they've seen him, and they know who he is, and he feels rejected because Saul is attacking him, and he feels rejected because now the nation Israel has turned against him, so he flees over to the enemy side and to the Philistines, and now they've rejected him. And he said to them, what did I do? I've done nothing but good. I have fought for you. I've served you. I've done the things you want me to do. I'm out here all by myself. Yeah, Philistines don't want me. Israel doesn't want me. Nobody loves me. I guess I'll go eat worms. He's confused. God, what are you trying to show me? And God has a plan, and God does understand what's going to happen. And folks, there are going to be times in your life when God is not going to take sides with you. Don't you just hate it? But it's the truth. There's going to be times when you think it's got to be this way. And if it's not this way, then God, you're not listening. Guys, I hate to tell you, but we don't tell God what to do. That will not work. And when you let go of it and you let God tell you what to do, things change. But we cannot tell him. And that's what we try to do, especially those times when we're out in the desert. There's going to be those times when God just doesn't take sides. And he's going to take over. And you You see, God's sovereign hand is a hand of protection. He knows. He understands. What David didn't know was that the very battle that he was getting ready and hoping to jump into would cause the massacre of Israelites. And when the Philistines, after the battle, the Philistines came in to clean up the area, in other words, to dispose of the bodies, to keep down disease and stuff, they find the dead body of King Saul, the king of Israel. They also find his three sons, Abinadab, Melchishua, and Jonathan. And Jonathan was David's, or had been David's best friend. So the king's sons are dead. God knew if David had gotten his way, he would have taken apart in a battle where Saul had been killed, and forever he would be considered a traitor to Israel. That would not be forgiven. Listen, what you need to do is you need to have confidence in God when you feel all alone. I shared the story, and over the years I shared it, and I don't remember who all I shared it with, but I was on my way, we were living in New Mexico, a lot of desert in New Mexico, and I was going down elk hunting down in the southern part of New Mexico. It was just me. Donna was at home with the kids. They were on the reservation. And I was just taking a few days to go down. And I'm driving. And as I'm driving, I became aware of the vastness of the desert and the high desert that we lived in. And then I started having some vehicle problems. Listen, there's nothing there. There's no people. There's no mechanics. There's no nothing. It's just wide open spaces. And if you get in trouble in that situation, you're on your own. You can't expect somebody to come to your rescue because sometimes those roads, they don't drive down. And I remember that feeling as I'm driving down the road, my truck starts acting up, and it's like, what am I going to do if I get stranded here? We didn't have cell phones. Guess what, guys? They weren't even invented, as far as I know. Not what we know of as cell phones. Yes, I'm that old. These young people in the back are saying, huh, really? That's right. I grew up without a cell phone. And you wonder why I can't text. You're stranded. You're stuck there. And it's a very, very lonely feeling. When you're in the desert, and when you feel all alone, and nobody loves you, have confidence in God. And you know what? That's what I learned to do when I feel alone. Sometimes that's when I have to let go. And let God. I just have to. Reading on in our scripture passage, it says, then David and the people who were with him, after this is after hearing of the death of Saul and his son, lifted their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep. Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. For all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David finally realized God has a plan. And that plan is for my better interest. That plan is for me, and it's something for me to grab onto, and I'm going to follow that plan. It's a shame. It's a shame that we have to find ourselves in the desert before we grab onto what God wants. It's a shame that we have to find ourselves to that point of loneliness before we let go. And sometimes God will remove everyone around you. And by leaving you all alone, he forces you to change. Sometimes God removes people's support in order to help us to wean ourselves off of people and to truly, truly start trusting God. You get the picture? We lean on people and we trust people and they fail us. And God sometimes removes them so that we lean on him who never fails, who never lets us down, who keeps all of his promises, who pours his love into us, who before we were created, he knew us and he loved us. Have confidence in God when you just don't know what to do. And here's what happens. God is going to build trust, even though you don't. Some of you experienced it. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you are going through it right now. Some of you here today are sitting here and you feel like you're in the desert. I'm all alone. I'm all alone. Where are you, God? I'm all alone and I don't know what to do next. Where are you, God? The other thing we like to do is we like to blame it on Satan. And Satan is a dirty, rotten stinker, okay? I don't like Satan, and I don't like saying I don't like Satan. God doesn't like him either. But what we like to do is we like to take everything and say, Satan did this. And most of the time he did. But understand, there are times when God has lessons that he wants you to learn. And sometimes in those lonely times in the desert, God's trying to teach you. The rest of the time it's Satan trying to break you. David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this band, referring to the Philistines? Shall I overtake them? And he, that is God, and he said to him, pursue, for you will surely overtake them, and you will surely rescue all. The Philistines have moved in, they've attacked, they beat down Israel, and now David with his little group of men is going to move out of the land of the Philistines, and he's going to pursue the Philistines. They're going to be destroyed. David eventually is going to be raised up as the king of Israel. There's a whole lot goes into this, and he establishes the throne that God wants him to have. By the way, David continues, even when he becomes king, David continues to make decisions that are foolish decisions. And in every one of those decisions, God comes to David and says, okay, David, here's the consequences of your actions. You did this. This is going to happen. Think about our decisions. There's always consequences. And when we make our decisions based on self rather than based on God, the consequences are usually not too good. With David, when his heart returned to God, he was able to rescue all of the people. And he became one of the greatest kings in history. But in order for that to happen, God had to first take David through an arduous journey through a very lonely desert. And only then was God able to exchange David's soiled heart for the heart of the king. Folks like David, we have a choice. And the choice goes like this. We can either just drop out because of the desert, or we can seek God. Choose to seek God, and you will notice a wonderful renewing process that takes place in your heart. Choose God, and just wait for the comfort and the strength and his plan to come. This morning, would you come here? I was sharing this morning, or this weekend, with some individuals. And I said, you know, this is probably the shortest message I think I've ever done. But I said, as I was working on the message, I just came to a point where I didn't have anything else put in there. And then God was saying, Dennis, it's time to be quiet. And so as you bow your heads this morning, I would like for you, just for a moment, please, to reflect on your own life. Have you ever been in the desert alone? At least the desert of life? Where you felt nobody cared, nobody was there. Nobody was on your side, including God. Maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe today you feel like it's all been dumped on you. And you call out to God and you don't seem to hear an answer. He's there. And he's in charge, and he has things for you that you can't understand. And the only thing he asked ask you to do, folks, when you're in that desert alone, is to trust Him. That's it. This morning as we pray, I'm going to ask that if that's where you are, pray the prayer and just ask God to take you through the desert the rest of the way. To change your heart so that you will trust Him and not yourself. To change your heart so that you won't make foolish decisions, but that you'll make wise decisions that He wants you to make. To guide you through that desert. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for those things that we learn in Scripture and how You have used people in Your service. Father, You are with us, You lead us, and You guide us, and when we find ourselves in the deserts of our life, when we're walking and we seem just to be alone, You are there. And so often, Father, You are just waiting for us to come back to You with our heart. You're waiting to show us Your will and Your plan. Father, I just pray for those here today, and whatever might be going on in their life, just be with them. Show them comfort. Give them strength.